I speak and may you hear in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. Candice Brown? Some of you may never have heard of Candice Brown. Candice Brown, some of you will know, was last week's winner of the BBC's Great British Bake Off and has now achieved which so many aspire to. No, not the spectacular marzipan peacock cake with a blueberry surprise in the middle, but celebrity status. As one PR guru put it, firms will fall over themselves to sign her up for books and promotions. She can expect TV offers to flood in and to earn well over £1 million in her first year. The cult of the celebrity is something with which Western society seems besotted. And yet, a common complaint, not of Candice, of course, but of such culture, is that the public, instead of seeking in our chosen celebrities heroism or excellence, choose those so often famed for their infamy. Donald Trump is a prime example. Perhaps you and I, we're in part, to blame as we encourage the tabloids to create those celebrity godlike figures and, like a lynch mob, look forward to the same tabloids destroying and shaming those paper gods in the most extreme ways possible. Today, the church commemorates a different sort of celebrity, celebrities we call saints, martyrs like Maximilian Kolbe, who volunteered to die in place of a stranger in Auschwitz, Manki Mezimola, murdered by her parents because she wanted to be baptized, Yunani Luwum, who as Archbishop of the Church in Uganda, wrote to the President, Idi Amin, condemning government complicity in arbitrary killings and unexplained disappearances. As a result, he was murdered. Elizabeth, a member of the Russian royal family, who after the death of her husband became a nun, working among the down and outs of Moscow, only to be murdered by the Bolsheviks. Martin Luther King, the civil rights leader assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Oscar Romero, Archbishop of San Salvador, who in speaking out against poverty, social injustice, assassinations and torture, was himself assassinated while presiding at a Eucharist much like this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Lutheran pastor, theologian, and anti-Nazi dissident executed in the closing days of the Second World War. Esther John, born into an Islamic family, but who converted to Christianity and became a nurse and evangelist before being murdered for her faith. Lucian Tibiedi, one of 8 Anglican clergy, teachers and medical missionaries killed by the Japanese in 1942. And Wang Ziming, a Christian leader executed in China during the Cultural Revolution. What do those 10 people have in common besides being saints? 10 20th century Christian martyrs. They are placed in memory and in honour, in statues above the great west door of Westminster Abbey. And they represent those who have died in the name of Christ in a century, the 20th century, marked, would you credit it, by the greatest number of martyrdoms in the history of the church. So, what spiritual ingredients go into the making of a Christian saint? Baptism? Yes and no. Because Manke Mazimola was not baptized. And despite that fact, in South Africa where she lived, she now has a place in the Anglican calendar of saints. So, what spiritual ingredients go into the making of a Christian saint? A venerable rabbi once said this: in olden days, there were men and women who saw the face of God. He was questioned by a student, why don't they anymore? Because, he replied, nowadays, no one stoops so low. In a culture where everyone wants to be a celebrity, how many of us are willing to stoop low when actually we'd rather walk tall? According to our rabbi, it is the lowly, those who stoop low, who see the face of God. That is a claim which resonates in the Beatitudes. That's the name given to those verses of our Gospel reading. The Beatitudes, which remind us that it is those who, because of their faith in God, refuse to collude with a culture which is more concerned with self-promotion than God-promotion. Stooping low means we are able to see the face of God, not in godlike celebrities who seemingly walk tall, but in those who, because of their faith in God, willingly accept ridicule, discrimination, persecution, and even martyrdom. They are the ones who are blessed by God. We see it in the likes of Colby, Mazimola, Luam, and the others who have that honoured place in the west wall of Westminster Abbey. And it continues to this day, nowhere more evident than in Syria, where the Christian community has been exiled and now lives in poverty, hunger, and tears. Our Syrian sisters and brothers are blessed because of their faith. Blessed. Blessed. That's an interesting word. Blessed. In the New Testament, the Greek word for blessed is makarios. And in ancient Greek times, makarios referred to the gods who were blessed because they had achieved a state of happiness and contentment in life beyond all cares, worries, and even death. Theirs was a world apart, a celebrity world. Translating the Old Testament into Greek, as did happen, that word makarios took on another meaning, right living. Not according to faith, but by observing God's law. It was then that a person would be blessed with a good wife or husband, many children, abundant crops, riches, honor, wisdom, beauty, and good health. Once again, celebrity status. But that's not how the writer of Luke's Gospel interpreted Makarios. He knew what Jesus was getting at and uses the word Makarios in a totally new way. It is not the elite, the rich, the powerful, the high and mighty who are blessed. Jesus pronounces God's blessing on those who live lives which are God-shaped, and in living such lives encounter a cost. Not right living, but being in a right relationship with God. Those who are the blessed ones in God's kingdom are God's liminal people. In other words, betwixt and between. You and I are betwixt and between. In this world, but not of this world. We who embrace values which do not reflect this world, but God's. Who act in unexpected, countercultural ways which are incarnational. In a world that strives after perfection, perfect bodies, perfect partners, perfect children, saintliness has nothing to do with perfection. Saintliness is about our transformation, whereby because of our faith in God, what we do with our money reveals our true wealth. How we steward our lives discloses God's abundance. And how our tears of empathy can shame those who have it within their power to restore true joy. Our relationship with God means that we act in unexpected, countercultural ways, loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us, blessing those who curse us, praying for those who abuse us. Who was it who said that an act of random kindness can change the world? I hope, like me, you aspire to sainthood. To be honest, as you will undoubtedly recognize, I'm not there yet. I'm on the way, but not there yet. As I struggle to be a walking sacrament to reveal God in my life, I do so in the knowledge that God isn't finished with me yet. He continues to make all things new, even someone like me. And best of all, even someone like you. Amen.